Well, let's see. I'm left with about 12 minutes to tell you the entire Old Testament, but I'll figure out a way to do it. Turn to Deuteronomy. I'm just going to share a real simple thought, and I'll keep it. The 10-minute version, I blessed are the flexible. I was prepared to go the distance today, but that's okay. I'll do it next week. Deuteronomy, go to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Listen, what we're doing in this church is we're doing an overview of the Bible. And my goal is to make the Old Testament easy to understand. So basically, hope that you've enjoyed this series. If you've missed any of it, you can hear it on the internet at our website. You know, you can type it in and we've got the audio there. But Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they're called the Law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Law. And we benefit from the Law. Jesus said, the Law speaks of me. You see, all the Old Testament pointed to Christ. In the New Testament, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, he opened their minds to understand from the Law and from Psalms that he was the Messiah. So we can see the shadows in the beginning. Now, all I'm going to talk about in this remaining time with you today is what the Law, and the Ten Commandments are in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So why don't we read the Ten Commandments as we finish up here today. Moses summoned all Israel, and he said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them, be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb." You skip down to verse 6. These are the commandments. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." First commandment is don't have any other gods. Don't let your car be a god. Don't let your job be a god. Don't let money be a god. Don't let pleasure be a god. God is a jealous God. Now, at one time, we all probably had idols before we came to Christ. It's a commandment we've broken. We've broken all 10 of these commandments, by the way. But God's heart is that we'd have no other God beside him. And then it says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath." And the second commandment is don't make statues and worship them. When I was in the Philippines, the little statues of the baby Jesus, they're called Santo Niño, and they put little flowers around the doll and so forth. And what that is, it's indicating that you're really not aware of the presence of God, because God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So if I need to make a little thing and have it in my room, you know, a little statue, it means I don't really feel the presence of God when I'm somewhere else. God's everywhere, and he doesn't want idols or images. And of course, I saw statues of Mary, and I've been in Thailand. I've seen the statue of the golden Buddha and all those kind of things. That's all out there, but God is not an image. He's not an idol. He's not an object. There are no idols in our life. You remember Aaron made a golden calf. We'll talk about this next week when I summarize. I'm going to go back and do the book of Deuteronomy and complete the Law next Sunday. And we'll have communion next Sunday, Lord willing. But the third commandment is don't misuse, verse 11, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. So don't take God's name in vain. Now, we've all done it. Everybody's done it. You know, you hit your finger with a hammer, you go, and you know, what do you say? You don't say, "Oh, Buddha." What is it? And that's just because Satan wants to God's name blasphemed. We've all done it, but we are not to do it. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth commandment, observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Now, we are not under the Sabbath law, but the Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ. And when you believe in Christ, the Sabbath is satisfied. The Jews used to worship on Saturday, and they couldn't even walk two-thirds of a mile. They got so strict about it, they wouldn't carry even their false teeth, because that would be carrying a load on the Sabbath day. That's not how God intended it to be. He intended that there be a day of rest where we reflect on him. And he's not going to, if I mow my lawn on a Sunday, he won't strike me. I generally don't do that, though. I'm not under the law. But the Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ. Now, all of these first four commandments, listen, they have to do with our relationship with God. One God, no other gods before me. No idols. You see, don't take his name in vain and take the Sabbath and reflect on him. The first four commandments have to do with my vertical relationship with God. The last six commandments have to do with my horizontal relationship with you, with other people. So look at the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you so that you may live long and it will go well with you. Honor your parents. We're going to have Jan's mother here, my wife's mother here in 2 weeks. You better be on good behavior at that time, okay? But I better be on good behavior. but I didn't always honor my parents. I didn't come to Christ till I was 26. I was just a marijuana-smoking partier guy in my college days. And I can remember things in my childhood, lying to my parents, stealing things from my own parents. You don't think I feel guilt about that to these days? But I know that I'm not guilty because Christ has washed me in the blood. But honor your parents that it may go well with you. That's the command that God gives us. I wasn't raised in a Christian family, you see. I was not raised to know Christ. I didn't know Christ till I was 26 years of age. And then it says, you shall not murder. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that if you call your brother Raca, you fool, you idiot, you've murdered him. If I say, hey, you're a fool, you know, and that's guilty of murder. You shall not commit adultery. You know what Jesus said about that. If you even lust for a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. Guilty. Guilty, guilty. We've done that. We've done that. I'm making a point here. Stay with me. Do not steal. Have you ever stolen anything? A pencil or something? Boy, I don't even want to. I'm ashamed of the stories. I was a juvenile delinquent. And you know that? I'm not proud of it. I hung around with the crowd and we used to steal things from supermarkets. We stole cartons of cigarettes. One day, Officer Fields, the juvenile officer, pulls up to my house. And all of my friends are in the back seat of his car. My father wasn't home. My mother was in Tennessee dealing with a crisis. And he says, Roger, if you don't tell me everything right now, you're getting in the car and you're going with me. I spilled my guts. Later that day, my father gets home and he says, your mother's going through enough right now. We're not going to tell her this. And he said, but Roger, if you're ever going to steal something, rob a bank. And he dropped it. That was his way of forgiving me and warning me. I'll never forget that. But I've stolen things. I'm born again now. I'm born again. I'm just telling you, we've all broken these laws at one point. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Don't slander. Don't lie. God wants the truth to be on our mouth. And finally, don't covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's house. You ever done that? Oh, man, he's sure got a pretty wife. Oh, man, look at that house. How come it's such a big house? We shall not covet. So these last six commandments deal with my vertical relationship. Now, all of these 10 commandments are summed up in two commandments, which we don't always do. The first commandment is, and we're going to cover this, it's the Shema. We'll cover it next week. It's in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord. That's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord. That sums up the first four right there. If you love God, you're not going to make an idol. You're not going to misuse his name. The second commandment out of Leviticus is love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, the law is summed up. If I love you, I'm not going to murder you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to lie about you. So two laws sum it up. Now, the thing that I want you to understand is this, and then we'll build on this next week. Jesus comes, and in the New Testament, on the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, he says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. You see, the law demanded my death. These Ten Commandments say, it's cursed is everyone who doesn't do everything in the law. That's what it says. Galatians 3, cursed is everyone who doesn't do everything in the law. That's us. The law brought a curse. We're all, can I use an American slang, busted, in trouble. We've all broken the law of God. But then it says in Galatians 3, but God made Christ to take our curse for us. Cursed is everyone hung on a tree. Cursed is everyone hung on a tree. Jesus Christ took the curse that we deserve. And as he hung on the cross, the Son of God, he took every sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the commandments that I ever broke, all the commandments that you ever broke or will break, because we're still flawed. Every sin, past, present, and future, was laid on Christ. And the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Do not throw away your faith. It will be richly rewarded. The Son of God is risen from the dead. And as you trust Christ, you have satisfied the law. Paul gave a sermon. It's in Acts chapter 13. He said, the righteous requirements of the law are fully met in us. Fully met in us who trust Christ. So I can look at the Ten Commandments and I go, Christ satisfied them. I'm no longer under the law. And in glorious freedom now, I have freedom to love. And you know what Galatians says? Galatians 5:16, I believe, it says, the only thing that counts, listen, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Whew, that's pretty simple. I believe in you, Jesus. I therefore love you because you first love me and you've given me eternal life. And I love you, brother and sister, because the Holy Spirit lives in me and I can do that now. Faith expressing itself through love. That's all God wants. And as you trust Christ, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And may I say to you, because I don't know everyone's heart, if you haven't received Christ, the law still stands against you. The Ten Commandments will condemn you. Because God is holy, and he says the soul that sins will die. Unless you accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, you'll have to die. And death, biblically, is eternal separation from God. God doesn't want that for you. God wants to forgive you. That's why Jesus came. He loves you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him into your heart. Just say, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me every sin. Have mercy on me. I believe you are the Son of God risen from the dead. He is. This Bible is God's Word. The Old Testament and the New Testament, one book. And it reveals truth to us. So trust Christ. Follow Christ. If you want to pray to receive Christ, come talk to me afterwards and say, Pastor Roger, I want to receive Jesus today. Talk to my wife, Janet. Say, Janet, I want to receive Jesus today. And we will pray with you. Now is the day of your salvation. Don't delay it. You don't know the day of your death. The law declares us guilty, but the blood of Jesus and the burial and resurrection of Jesus offer us eternal life. And all God is asking you to do is trust him and believe in his Son, and you will live. Hallelujah. We're out of time, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the law. The law is holy. It reveals your righteousness. The law is good. We confess that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as your word says. That, Lord, we have not always kept your righteous law. We cannot. And so we need a Savior. And we thank you that in the fullness of time, your plan was revealed and you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And Jesus, we thank you that you paid the full price for all of our sins. Lord, if there's anybody in the room today that needs to receive Christ, I pray that they would not leave this building today without asking Jesus into their heart. I pray that they would ask Jesus into their heart, because Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life. We thank you, Jesus, that you fulfilled the law, you satisfied the law, you took the curse that we deserve. And Lord, as our sins have died with you, we can now live with you forever and ever and ever in newness of life as your sons and daughters in heaven. So thank you, Father, for the blood of Christ. Thank you for the resurrection of Christ. And I pray your blessing on this church, that as was told us earlier, we would be sharing the gospel together, all of us, reaching out to those around us with this wonderful gospel. We thank you and praise you and give you all glory in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen.